In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Church gives us this Corpus Christi. It is because it is what the Christ wanted. The Christ, as I have told you before, communicated with St. Juliana of the need for a feast on the Church's calendar to honor the Blessed Sacrament apart from Holy Thursday, since Holy Thursday would obviously be arrested by the solemnity of Holy Week. Therefore, this opportunity was presented and the Church followed. And the Christ always knows what he is doing. He's not limited by time. And he knows what we need. It will be in preparation for the reality of what we face today, so many not believing in the real presence. Indeed, that is a willful choice on their part, because when one cooperates with grace, as St. Thomas Aquinas teaches and includes in his writing the Divine Office for Corpus Christi Thursday, which the United States has long been celebrated on Sunday, so devoted were Americans at one time, American Catholics, to the Blessed Sacrament. They would celebrate it twice, on Thursday and then on the following Sunday. But he would say that the grace at work in the sacrament allows one to understand our Lord's real presence. It takes faith. It takes faith. If you don't have the will, then the grace God gives you lies dormant. It answers the age-old question. I receive communion over and over again, and yet I still am doing the same sin, still doing the same thing. Well, that's because you're not cooperating with grace. Grace builds on nature. Grace perfects nature. But builds on nature means you have to actually want to get better, as it were. You have to actually want to become perfected. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus said. The Blessed Sacrament is the means by which this happens most fully. That's why it's called the most blessed sacrament, the top of them all. And so, as, say, Joseph Lampy will receiving confirmation today, since he couldn't do it on the Easter Vigil due to our farcical flu, the reality that it is secondary to the most blessed sacrament, because it is the most blessed sacrament. So the pinnacle sacrament that Joseph and also the other children receive today is the sacrament. And so I say to them what I say to all of you who may have forgotten. St. Augustine teaches a disposition that is necessary for the reception of the Blessed Sacrament, in particular, is humility. Humility before God, an awareness that you are receiving God Himself. Humility before God, which is why we pray the Domine Nostrum Dignus. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Never are we, and those of you receiving First Communion, never are you to presume on the goodness of the Lord that you deserve this great gift He's giving you. It's a gift freely given. You and I have no claim to it. Yeah, the bad examples have been sent by the secular world, the reality that children will sit down and make a Christmas list demanding from their parents what they want by way of gifts. That's not really gift giving, is it? And our Lord doesn't respond to that kind of disposition. It is a gift that is beyond our comprehension, beyond our worthiness, beyond our estimation. It is Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity. Truly God. Truly man. All contained mystically, sacramentally in the host. That's the first disposition you need in that realm of humility, to be aware that it's God. That's why the Church has built in, and is still the default position, despite what you hear. The default position for Catholics is still to receive communion on your knees before your God and on your tongue, demonstrating your unworthiness, demonstrating your total dependence upon Him. You know, when they started this whole communion on the hand thing, 1972, Paul VI wrote a letter on the issue. And he had written to all the bishops of the world in the early 70s, asking them, do you think communion on hand is a good idea? The vast majority of the bishops said no. Do you know why they said no? Because they said that if you start giving communion on the hand, Catholics will stop believing in the real presence. 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence anymore. They believe it's only a symbol. Worse yet, they believe it's a symbol of the gathered community, and that without the community being there, Jesus isn't present, because he's really present in the people. These very people say you should genuflect to one another, but stand when you receive communion. They really do believe in most parishes that communion is a symbol of the gathered community. You can tell by the way they celebrate the Mass, without reverence, without awe. Truth hurts, but that's the reality. And Paul VI then wrote in 1972 that communion on the hand is not to be done except in those places where it was already started, with the condition that in those places everyone still be taught that one must receive communion on the knees and on the tongue as the default position, with exceptions. Well, of course, the loony bin was already excited, and they told Americans that all the Vatican's demanded you receive communion on the hands while you stand. It never did. That's based on a lie. One runs a tremendous risk basing one's faith life on a lie. Yes, the law permits it now because there are those who don't know what to do to change it. But I say it is so much better to receive on the knees and on the tongue, because what are you saying when you receive standing? I stand before my God. I stand in line like it's a Marxist bread line. And then I receive, and I feed myself. I take that host and I feed myself. My hands are consecrated to touch the Blessed Sacrament. After I touch it with the canonical digits, I don't touch anything else with those digits, because there might be crumbs of our Lord there. And then I purify the hands after Mass, part of the purification rite. And I drink the wine and the unconsecrated wine and the water to purify the mouth. Because our Lord, as long as it looks like bread, he's there. And that's reverence. That's being awestruck at the fact that this is God, and he is so good to us by making himself present in this most vulnerable way. How much does he love us then? To let us participate literally in the representation of his one true sacrifice, to receive every good gift, every grace that he offered on the cross, renewed for us, not reenacted, not represented, not re-sacrificed, but represented, presented again. Anamnesis is the Greek word, and there's no real equivalent in the English language, commemoration or memorial. But anamnesis means it makes that moment present through the power of the Holy Spirit. So consider the reality of what you do when you receive communion and your disposition of humility. And as I like to remind you, in particular, the altar rail is called an altar rail. It's called communion rail because people receive it. But it actually also used to be known as the people's altar, because the altar rail symbolizes death. Where you are is the nave, that symbolizes the world. Where I am is the sanctuary, that symbolizes heaven. The only way to get from the world to heaven is death. And since Christ is the only one who conquered death, it is Christ who gives you communion over death itself, which he conquered. And therefore the importance of the rail is this, that it's the people's altar because you make a sacrifice yourself at this very altar, sharing in the priesthood of all believers, which is different from the priesthood of Jesus Christ that I possess. In other words, every time you come up here to receive communion, you say, I'm going to die to myself and live for the one I receive. Live for Christ. Live through Christ. Live in Christ. The words of St. Paul himself from Galatians, I no longer live for myself, but for him. You are literally declaring every time you come up to kneel on this altar rail, the altar where you make the sacrifice of yourself, that you're going to die to yourself, you're going to avoid sin, You're going to be aware of who it is you're receiving, and you're going to live the life of charity that he has expressed most fully to you by the sacrifice of the altar and by him giving you his very self, body, blood, soul, divinity. No greater charity than that. And all the graces necessary are given to us to live like him. And therefore, especially those who are in the great sacrament of holy matrimony, it's always an opportunity to recommit yourself to that sacrament by dying to yourself at the people's altar, at the altar rail, at the communion rail. That's why it's not a piece of furniture. It's not something for the children to treat like monkey bars. It should only be touched by those children who know that they are willing to sacrifice themselves for Christ. In other words, those who are receiving communion. Just because it's an altar doesn't mean you can't touch it. You should touch it. You place as much of yourself as you can, except don't go over the line because then you're going to hit me. But you place as much as yourself on the rail, indicating giving yourself to Christ because you want to be transformed by Christ. As St. Augustine teaches, we receive communion not to transform him into us, but for him to transform us to him, to make us more like him. And think of it, he gives you every good grace to make that possible. That's why it's the pinnacle sacrament. It is the greatest sacrament. It is the most blessed sacrament. It is Jesus himself. It is God. And we must treat it as such. We must know it as such. And be humble before our God every time we come to communion. And recommit ourselves to him, knowing full well that without his grace, we can't do it. As Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without him, we cannot be virtuous. Without him, we cannot live the life of grace. So those receiving their first communion today, be mindful of the reality of sacrificing yourself to God the Father through Christ. None of our sacrifices make anything relevant. They're irrelevant, and they don't amount to a hill of beans unless they're connected to the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill. That's why the altar is elevated. That's why we ascend to the altar. It's going up Calvary Hill. And then Christ comes down Calvary Hill to give you communion, to give you everything you need to live the Catholic life most fully. Be mindful of yourselves, especially those who receive communion time and time and time again. Never take it for granted. Always receive communion just like you come to Mass. Treat it as though it's your first Mass. Treat it as though it's your first communion. And treat it as though it's your last Mass. And treat it as though it's your last communion. Because then you'll be more intentional, more deliberate, and you'll receive far more grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.